Chapter 11, Saul Invictus. Chrysalis struggled fiercely against the black shadows that enveloped her, but it was to no avail, for every black tendril that she kicked or bit off, another took its place. It is poetic, is it not, dear daughter? The enemy of Celestia, who was stripped of everything, vowed revenge, only to fall in love with one of Celestia's subjects. So horrifically tragic, star-crossed lovers, a once proud queen and a lowly peasant that were never meant to be. Oh, if only you did not cripple him, he may have had a chance. Oh, fate, thou art so cruel and unforgiving. Alas, the tragedy must come to a finale. Chrysalis, who fought so bravely and valiantly, in the end could not save the one she loved. The figure slowly circled the struggling Chrysalis, watching as her every movement became more labored. She licked her lips, savoring the spectacle. Oh, what a beautiful sight love is! The figure laughed as she continued walking, and very delicious, too. It has been too long since I last tasted it. The figure walked over to Mortal's bed and leaned down next to him. Getting tired, dear? The figure whispered as she stroked Mortal's head. The figure laughed, baring her fangs, when she saw Chrysalis struggle even harder. Chrysalis gave out a final kick before falling to the ground, the shadows enveloping her and pinning her to the ground. Being exhausted after fighting for so long, she panted as she struggled to look up. Oh my, giving up already? The figure said, as she stood over the trapped Chrysalis. Chrysalis had lost all feeling in the lower half of her body. Sweat dripped down her face as the shadows wrapped even tighter. She scowled at the figure, but inside she felt consumed with terror. Try as she might, she could not stop her body from shivering. What a lovely face you have there. But we both know that it's a lie. Not only can I see it, I can feel your fear. Oh, how delicious it is. It brings me back to my younger days. That surge of power when I saw victims' fear in their eyes. The look when they realized they had lost everything. Oh, how wonderful it was. Tell me, daughter, how does it feel to lose everything? To know that you sacrificed all you had but still lost? You have lost your crown, your army, your body, your power, and your lover. And for what? To try to hang on to the belief that you could live a normal life? Chrysalis's mask broke. Her eyes widened as the horror sunk in. She is right. I have lost everything. Mortar, I am sorry. I really did want to live a life with you, even as a pony. Celestia, why? Chrysalis froze mid-thought. No, I have not sacrificed everything yet. Better Celestia than that monster. For him, I will give up my pride. With every ounce of strength she had remaining, Chrysalis pried off the shadow around her neck with her forehooves and shouted as loudly as possible, Celestia, help me! Chrysalis's eyes closed, and her whole body went limp. Celestia sat at the end of the hallway, watching over the door to Morta's room, glad that fewer ponies were stopping and bowing to her. She knew it was late, but she had promised that she would be here for Chrysalis. She sighed as she closed her eyes. I feel it is unlikely that she would ask for help, especially mine. She is too proud to ask an old mare like me. Oh, what could I have done to prevent this? Should I have watched her personally? Maybe then I could have saved Morta. But then again, That would have been a grievous violation of her privacy. I already had the guard watch her. Even then, I knew that was a tad extreme, but it had to be done. Should I have increased the amount of guard watching her? Should I have just gone all the way and had her constantly watched with that scrying spell? It could have helped. No, I cannot think like that. That is a dangerous path to tread, one that I cannot start. That is the path that will lead to tyranny. But what could I have done? I raised the sun. Surely I could have done something. Would it have been better if I had granted Chrysalis her wish and killed her? I wanted to give her a chance at happiness, and that was the only way I could do it while protecting my ponies. But how could I kill her after I learned who she was? Her motives were not malicious. Should I have fought her at the wedding, I could have ended this entire thing there and then. I knew my ponies could stop the invasion. I wanted to show them how strong they are. Besides, Canterlot would be in ruins if I had fought with all of my strength. I already destroyed one capital and its countryside, and all that is left now is the Everfree Forest. I could not do that again. There would be too many deaths. I do not want to smell burning ashes again. Every pony already fears me. If I did fight her, they would see my true power and become horrified. They would treat me like some vicious god and would do everything they could to appease me. I do not want that. It took me 1,000 years to get this far. Was it selfish of me to let my ponies do it because I feared the consequences? Luna, what should I do? I have failed another. A desperate hoarse scream echoed down the hallway. Celestia's eyes shot wide. Chrysalis, she whispered. She jumped out of her seat and galloped down the hallway. Without missing a beat, she slammed into the door, knocking it off its hinges. Her magenta eyes scanned the room for any sign of danger. She noticed Chrysalis' limp form on the ground. As she took a step towards it, suddenly her fur stood on end. The room suddenly felt colder, as if there was ice in the air. Her wings flicked in trepidation. Something else is here. There is another being present. I have felt this before. It is just like Luna's possession. Celestia's wings flared as she quickly got to Chrysalis's side. She picked up Chrysalis's limp form and cradled it. Chrysalis, are you all right? Chrysalis, Celestia said as she nudged her. She lifted Chrysalis's face with a hoof and gasped. Chrysalis's eyes were wide open. One pupil was dilated while the other was shrunk. No, she is being possessed, Celestia thought. She quickly brought her forehead to Chrysalis as her horn glowed. Ever since Luna's transformation, she had prepared for this in case it would happen again. She had never believed she would have to use it on any other pony. I have lost one to a demon already. I will not make that mistake twice. Chrysalis gasped, wondering what had happened. She was in a white corridor that appeared to go on forever. You little bitch, calling her for help, boomed a voice. Can you show any pride, even in your last moments, or do you go out begging like some alleyway tail lifter? I cannot believe you are willing to submit yourself to the enemy. Chrysalis instantly turned around and saw the figure standing behind her. As she remembered the events that had just transpired, she glared at the figure and roared back. Better her than you! The figure's ear flicked in irritation. Again, black shadows began to spread out on the floor around her. However, this time it was different. It was a thick, tar-like substance that oozed and bubbled out. It was as if it were a living mass that crawled out, rather than a shadow. Chrysalis stared at the thick mass, wide-eyed. She spotted a rising bubble that was much larger than the rest. Instead of popping, it continued to grow. All of a sudden, a changeling face exploded out of the mass with a roar. Chrysalis jumped back in horror as other changelings began to appear around the figure, snarling and roaring like a pack of wild beasts. "I will do what you cannot," the figure said in a cold tone. "I will conquer this nation. Every stallion, mare, and foal will be under my hoof. As soon as Equestria is mine, the entire world will be next. Every nation will bow down before me as I feed on their love. But first, I have to get rid of you." All of a sudden, the black mass of changelings charged at her, the wave of corruption staining the corridor. Chrysalis had no choice but to run away down the white corridor. As she ran, she caught images of her past hanging on the walls. She caught glimpses of her mother's grave, her early childhood, and her time leading to the changelings. Each time she passed an image, the mass of changelings would writhe over it, hundreds of tiny snapping maws and flailing claws tearing it to pieces. Chrysalis ran as fast as she could, panting hard. Her heart was pounding in her chest as she pushed her legs to the limit, the mocking laughter of the figure echoing around her. Eventually, Chrysalis reached the end of the corridor. The last image that hung on the wall was that of Mortar lying in his hospital bed. Chrysalis stared at it for a while as time appeared to slow. It seemed like it was only yesterday when they first met. So much has changed since then. She could remember how driven she was for revenge. However, every day spent with Mortar calmed her until she really did not think about revenge anymore. Every day she was becoming more happy with her life. All those times with Mortar, all those times where he would listen, calmed her. The more she thought about Mortar, the harder it was to fight back tears. In the corner of her eye, she could see the black tar-like substance surrounding her. "No!" Chrysalis cried out as she pried the image from the wall, holding it near her chest with a forehoof. "Oh, isn't that lovely? How cute, clutching your lover in your final moments," the figure said sweetly. Chrysalis glared at her, clutching the picture even more tightly. Suddenly, from her right, a changeling jumped at her, baring its fangs. Chrysalis dodged and lashed out with her hind legs, hitting it in the chin. More jumped at her, each one gnashing its teeth at Chrysalis and trying to grab her. She tried to dodge the attacks, but more continued to charge at her. A changeling seized one of Chrysalis's hind legs, trapping her. She tried to jerk it free, but another grabbed her foreleg. More and more of the changelings grabbed her, pinning her to the ground. Chrysalis struggled, biting and trying to free herself, but to no avail. The tar-like substance began to creep over her, slowly covering her body. She could feel it crawl up her back, reaching her neck. The figure's laugh echoed even more loudly. "I failed you, Mortar. I let my pride get in my way. Why did it take me until now to realize that I love you?" Those words echoed through her being, weighing her down even more. The figure licked her fangs, able to feel Chrysalis's emotions. Knowing that her victory was sealed, she flared her wings and let out a triumphant roar. With relish, she grinned to show her ecstatic visage in the moment of her ultimate success. As the last glimmers of light faded from the eyes of her captive, the figure opened her mouth and cried out, "Be happy, daughter. This is the hour of the accomplishment of our purpose. Where you and countless other queens before you have failed, I will succeed. With your body and my army at my command, Equestria will fall. I will sack Canterlot, burn it to ashes, and drain its inhabitants dry. Then, when I have collected all the vast energies that it has to offer, I, in my unmatched power, will turn my gaze upon the world. Every country, every culture, and every people will bow down to my authority, and my empire will last into the ages." The thick sludge of changelings continued to envelop Chrysalis, finally reaching her head. All of a sudden, she felt extremely sleepy, her eyelids beginning to fall as her body became more numb. She could see the figure was saying something, but she was unable to hear it. Her vision faded, and the world around her darkened. Her eyes watered as she remembered her life, her childhood alone, her struggles as a queen, her invasion of Equestria, and most importantly, her short time with Morta. She wished everything could just return to the way it had been. "A new dawn rises, daughter," the figure said. "Too bad. It could have been yours." Yet, just when she thought that she was dead, and it seemed to her that even her feeling had been lost, there was a sound like thunder, and a light so brilliant that it shone through the darkness surrounding her. A loud and mighty voice tore through the air. "The dawn rises when I alone command it." Suddenly, an explosion of fire erupted in the air, sending out waves of flame that scorched the changelings instantly, leaving nothing but brittle burnt bones. Chrysalis felt an unimaginably intense heat lapping all around her. In an instant, the mass of bodies around her was consumed, and the fire disappeared, but she herself was untouched. Instantly, she clutched the image of Morta even more tightly against her chest. She weakly tried to look up, but instantly turned her head away from the glaring light. Body and mind exhausted, she faded into unconsciousness. The fire in the sky slowly dispersed, revealing the form of Celestia. However, her normally rainbow-colored iridescent mane and tail had become torrents of intense blazing fire. Her gentle magenta eyes shone with furious white light, while all around her was a blinding brilliance that the two could barely stand to glimpse. Celestia descended, but instead of her normal graceful landing, her hooves shattered the ground under her with a tremendous crash upon impact. Her surroundings shook, and the ruptured earth under her hooves was set aflame. The figure could only look towards her, awestruck by the immensity of Celestia's terrible might and raw power. Celestia's face was clearly full of an unimaginable rage. Celestia glared at the figure, her nostrils flaring. "I must protect Chrysalis, so I can hold nothing back. I remember now so clearly how it was with Luna. I will never allow that to happen again." Her determination, as well as her raging inferno, only made her more terrifying to behold. Celestia raised a hoof and struck the ground with a tremendous force. She began to walk towards the figure, and the ground underneath her trembled and crumbled. She trampled any bones left from the changelings in her path. The figure still backed away, despite the hopelessness of her situation, keeping pace with the princess. She quickened her pace and turned to run, but then she bumped into a corner, trapped. With horror, she faced the bright opponent and managed to let out her voice in a high pitch.
You would protect her? Your enemy? Do you not remember what she did to you? To Canterlot?
I have already judged her, and she has already suffered enough for her past actions. She has paid her dues to Equestria, Celestia said coldly. She is one of my children now. She falls under my protection, and I will protect her no matter what. I already said that I will crush any threats to my children. Without another word, she lowered her head and thrust her horn through the figure's chest. The figure let out a cry of anguish before slowly burning away, leaving nothing but a pile of ashes.
I will banish the shadows that dare threaten my kingdom. Images of Luna's possession flashed by her, seeing her sister slowly torn away from her as Nightmare Moon took over. Never again. I will never allow something like that to happen to my sister or anyone else.
As the ashes finally settled, she turned around and walked towards Chrysalis.
Her eyes softened, and her mane and tail returned to normal. She flared her wings and glided towards Chrysalis. Upon reaching her, she kneeled down in front of her and gently placed a hoof on her back. She noticed that Chrysalis was clutching something. Gently, Celestia nudged her a little to try and get a glimpse of it. She let out a small gasp as she saw Chrysalis clutching a picture of Morta. Celestia smiled as her eyes began to water ever so slightly. She held Chrysalis in a gentle embrace, holding her to her chest. Celestia extended her wings and wrapped them around Chrysalis. "Do not worry, my little pony," Celestia said gently. "It is over now. You are safe. I will protect you."